The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do, Jake?
Well, we take those stories and we use them as inspiration for long-form, improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. In addition to this one, we also do an extra podcast every week called The Potatoes, a little side dish where we talk improv shop and stuff. We take questions from the audience. This last few weeks, we've been talking about the Middle Ditch and Schwartz specials and just the particulars of all of those specials and what it means for improv and stuff. Very exciting. All that's at patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. And that's the business. Let's get into the fun part of the show. The show itself. Today we have two first timers. Long overdue, I'd say. first, from the team Ghost at UCB, it's Jordan Myrick. Hello, Jordan.
Hello. Hi, Jordan.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming on.
I'm very excited.
And our second guest, you may know also from Harold Knight or sketches or all sorts of stuff. He's currently had a very public romance with a mannequin. I guess you could call it a romance.
I wouldn't call it a romance.
Well, sometimes it gets pretty romantic. Patrick McDonald.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for being here.
Oh, wow.
Coming on. So Patrick, the thing I was just referring to, Jordan and Jake, have you seen Karanda? I'm sure. No, or not?
No, I have
absolutely
not.
Absolutely.
Jake has not.
I have not seen Karanda.
Wait, really?
That's fine. That's
I'm sorry, Patrick.
No, it's comforting because I feel
that
like I'm
psychotic.
I feel like I'm very online right now, so to hear that somebody hasn't seen me is very comforting. It makes me self-conscious. I have literally the second day I was quarantining, I had a realization that I was trapped in my apartment with a mannequin that I was going to use for a comedy show, that the comedy show was canceled, and then I was just in a room with a mannequin. foreseeable future. And I was going to destroy this mannequin on stage. The whole joke was that it was going to be like the Netflix show Cheer, and I was just going to wreck this mannequin and be like, she's not cooperating with me. That was like going to be the whole bit. Then I just had this living mannequin with and so every day I've been doing different things with her. So we did a pub crawl in my apartment. We did, I took her outside on roller skates. It's been very wild. I've done about 25 videos that we just,
oh my God.
Every day. I did them every day for about 3 weeks. And then
it's insane that Jake hasn't seen them. My parents have seen them.
Yeah, I shared them with my niece and nephews.
They wrote about me in Travel and Leisure magazine for these.
Oh my God.
It's really crazy. It's insane. And so I am very attached to this mannequin. I named her Karanda after the disease. And we've just been doing that for a while.
Holy shit.
It's been very fun, actually. But I like to say she's not real. She doesn't exist. I'm telling you, it's not romantic when we're together. It's very much more of like, I have to like button her pants and zip her pants up. And it feels like a caretaker situation. Like it's not, if you worked a lot with a mannequin, you know, it's not romantic. It's very dirty. It's very clinical.
It's arguably a more intimate form of love, Patrick.
You know what? I think that says something about your...
listen, I agree with Josh. I feel like all love eventually turns into a caretaker situation.
That's true. Yeah. It's a companionship. It's like I have the intimacy and the commitment without the passion. Because that's a triangle. I saw that on a t-shirt. There's three triangles. Full love, and it's intimacy, companionship, or it's intimacy, commitment, and passion. So
intimacy, commitment, and passion.
What I have is commitment and intimacy without passion in a mannequin. Yeah.
I think commitment's doing a lot of work in that triangle.
Yeah.
Like bearing with it, yeah, as part of commitment.
That's a lot of work.
Anyway, I've been enjoying that. I think that.
Thank you.
When you started doing that, I want to talk about other stuff here in the opening. But I will say, like, first of all, when you started, I was very much enjoying it, and it sort of, you started it immediately.
I did.
So like it was like I don't even know if we were like really like. If there was a law to stay at home when you started. like you saw the news about Tom Hanks and then you started doing a daily Karanda video.
I want to be clear. I believe the date was March 14th.
Just like so a Saturday, right?
It was a Saturday, yeah. It was way early. It's way early.
And then like I sort of like, I'm sure you had plenty of people say this to you, but I kind of got the idea like, that's fun. I want to do something now that I'm stuck at home. And I like had this, I had like an idea I had to do with the NBA. And I like kind of did a couple things towards it. And I was like, started filming it. And I was like, this is way too much fucking work. And I started then tracking you of being like, you gotta be, it's gotta, here's the last thing I just wanted to ask is like, what point were you like, I can't do this every day?
So at a certain point, I was creating, because it turned into somebody wrote a theme song, somebody wrote a closing theme, somebody started writing covers of the theme song, somebody made me fan art. It got to the point where I was putting in about 8-hour days making Instagram stories with a mannequin. And I said, I have to take a second. I have to take a break. And that was 3 weeks. My goal was to do 20 and I did 21. And then I was like, I'm chilling out now. So I've done like a few since then. And I do one every maybe week or 2 weeks. But it was like, there was a point where I was like working. I was like exhausted, sweating. Like I was going to sleep at 9 o'clock. Just like working my ass.
Oh my goodness.
Cause there's full high concept ones. There's low concept ones. It's a whole situation. But it was too much work. And I was like, this feels like I'm definitely, but all of us, I think all of us like do so much. So this was my ability to like, I'm going to kinesthetically, like kinetically keep myself moving in a way that I would have done before the quarantine. And I was just desperate to continue motion. I think it was like me fighting my own inertia of like, I don't want to rest. I don't want to, like, I can't admit that I have to slow down.
Yeah. And
I relate to them.
This, like, knowing what you know now, would that have... Would you have done it any differently? That is a ridiculous question to ask.
This is the Today Show, by the way.
Yeah.
Hoda, you look different.
I don't know. Like, what is it like? Did you find that it was what you needed in that moment? Man, I can't not ask a sappy question.
I love it. It's exactly what I needed. I needed it. I definitely did. And I'm like, I'm super happy about it. And I actually like, it's weird. It's a very stupid way, but I look back and I'm like, my whole goal was like, well, if I've done it, then I've done it. Like, then I have it. I'd finish the day being like, I'm so happy I have that now. That'd be my feeling. Like, I worked so hard on this thing all day and I have it and it's out there and I'm so satisfied by it.
And I guess my follow-up question to that is like, what about the later ones were you doing differently than the earlier ones? That even logistical stuff of like, oh, it's easier to carry her like over my shoulder or like anything like that.
Well, so in the beginning, I would set her up for bed every night. And I would set her up for bed in very different ways where I would usually tape her to the wall or I would like, like it was like very extensive. And there was sometimes where I'd lay her body out because there was a whole bit where I was like, I'm not scared of her. I'm okay to go to sleep. And I'd be like, look how comfortable she is. And it'd be like all of her body parts laid out in a line and covered in a blanket and said, like, do not move this. She is not real. Later, I just kind of left her kind of unassembled on the ground in like a Brahm dress. like sprawled out. I would like walk over her. As I'm sitting here now, I realize that I have set her up. I'm not currently in the place that I'm staying. I'm staying about 4 hours away because I'm picking someone from the airport tomorrow. I left the mannequin. I left Karanda sitting in my bedroom, staring out the window, wearing a sweater. And no pants. So my mom is going to go into my room and see Karanda staring out a window wearing a sweater and no pants. I'm just realizing it. But my mom loves Karanda too, so it's fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, it's really funny. People should check that out.
Thanks so much.
Jordan, what's been your Karanda?
Well, Jordan,
your sheet cake? Sorry.
I was going to say I had the opposite of experience of Patrick, where Patrick's talking about all this inertia that he had moving him forward and he couldn't stop down. And the moment that there was even a whisper of a stay at home order, I laid down on the ground and haven't gotten up since. And I think it's the only way I know how to deal with it. I'm so unbelievably extroverted. So I kind of panicked initially because my first thought was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so annoying to everyone I know. Like my sweet roommate has put up with so much. Sometimes we'll be in the kitchen. I'll just be talking. And he'll be like, oh, you're like pitching jokes right now. Like he's not a comedian. And it's so, and I'm like, I have to go like literally physically close myself in my room just to not do that to him. My best friend Lily and I, almost every day have a 2-hour phone conversation where we don't really talk about anything. Nothing's happening. So I've really kind of settled into nothingness. But I have been, I like to cook a lot anyway, but I really hate baking. And I have been baking more since it started. And I made this Texas chocolate sheet cake with walnuts that blew my mind. And I loved it so much. As it was absolutely soaking wet, which is what I want from a dessert.
Hell yeah.
Things being so just so moist you can't even hold it is what I'm looking for in food. And I made it and it was incredible. And then Patrick saw it on Instagram and he made it.
I also made it. And it was so good. I'm not lying. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, I made it for my dad's birthday. Well, actually, there's a baker in the neighborhood he lives in, and she keeps bringing things over on the same day that I'm making something for my parents. And she made a chocolate cake, so we couldn't eat it that day, but we ate it the next day.
I did want to know if Karanda liked the cake.
Karanda loved the cake. Karanda stuffed her plastic head with it.
Thank God.
All I can picture is Patrick shoving it in Karanda's mouth and then having to clean it. After the camera's
gone. That's usually what it is.
Imagine happens is that Patrick does that and then Patrick goes to bed and then his mom comes in and cleans Karanda up. Almost like a parent with a child in their doll.
Mom, I'm done.
Yeah. She wants to kind of keep up the facade and continue to stimulate Patrick's imagination.
She's real. But I've loved your baking and I've loved your cooking, Jordan. I'm a huge follower.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah.
There's nothing funny about it. People keep being like, you need to turn this into like a comedy thing. And I'm like, no, thank you. I just want it to be pure and good. I just want to make, dramatic. I want it to be, an event for people to tune into that feels serious.
Yeah. If now is not the time to take a break from you've got to make this into a joke, when is the time?
Ugh.
Like you could just do it for sincerity. Just sincere cooking.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Jake's on Zoom 50 hours a week doing improv.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's doing more comedy than Jake.
It's true. I was saying that coming from a place of like envy. wouldn't it be nice to just get on the internet for a reason other than to make a joke about it?
Jordan, this chocolate cake is incredible. Thank you for making it. This is amazing.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah, it's so good. I was wondering what's funny about it.
Nothing. It's, I mean, I guess the company. nothing's funny about it. It's just the cake. I made you a cake because it's your birthday. Awesome. And I
thank you.
I wanted to tell you that I love you. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. You're amazing. You're so funny. You're so funny. Everything you do is so funny.
Thank you.
I love you so much. And
I just wish I'm just wearing full lingerie and you keep looking directly into my eyes and telling me how funny I am. And I have to be honest with you, it doesn't feel good. I love that you think I'm funny. But right now I want you to think that I'm hot and I made a delicious cake and I want you to take both of those things very seriously.
Okay. Hot and delicious.
Thank you.
You know what would be funny? Are you saying if this cake was wearing lingerie, that would be, you should put the lingerie on the cake.
That would be funny. Right. Oh, it's your birthday. Will it make you happy to put the cake in my lingerie? If I fill my lingerie with the cake, will that make you happy?
Okay. I feel like, okay, Jordan, I feel like you're getting a little heated.
Well, I feel heated. Okay. I feel upset. Okay.
I'm sorry. See, Jordan's roommate enters without knocking. Hey Jordan, are you going to take this trash? Oh, is there a goof going on in here? I'm sorry.
Even asking if a goof is going on.
Well, if you're shooting something, you should let me know because I'll be quiet.
I told you I will tell you if I'm shooting something or if I'm doing a goof or a prank, I'll come into your room and I'll let you know. I'm being serious. I'm trying to have sex with my boyfriend on his birthday.
Hey, man, we're trying to have sex in your apartment for my birthday. So if you could...
Oh, that's okay. Okay, I don't get this one, but I'll wait till it goes on Instagram or whatever.
Okay, it's not a joke. Okay, just go back to your room.
Okay, we'll do.
Jordan, did you text him? Did you text him to do a Kramer?
No, I didn't text him to do a Kramer, and I wish you would stop asking me to do that with him, okay? None of this is my life. None of this is Seinfeld. None of this is a TV show, okay?
I'm bored, Jordan. I'm bored. I'm bored, okay? I'm bored with our love. I'm bored in my life. I look forward to when you make me laugh. But if I'm being honest, otherwise, I don't feel anything.
Okay. That's like a lot coming at me from what feels like nowhere.
Yeah.
feels crazy.
It is a lot. And I just feel like my emotions are on the edge right now. Because
That feels crazy to me.
Okay. Well, if you're not making me laugh, then I guess I'm going to start crying.
Knock, knock.
Yep.
Hey, I'm your neighbor across the hall. If you guys are going to do goofs so loud that we can hear them, I'd like to, I need to know what's funny about it.
We're not doing goofs. I was giving him a blowjob and now we're fighting. We're not doing any goofs.
Blowjob fighting. I don't know what the pattern is there, so I don't know what to expect, for the third thing. It's just a loud goof, and I love a goof, but it's mostly loud and very little goof.
Well, she likes to subvert, so I think the third thing, I don't think we're going to see it coming.
Well, at this point, the first two, I don't see a pattern for. Is it blowjob fighting, blowjob fighting?
Babe, why don't you answer him?
This is the worst day of my life. This is absolutely the worst day of my life. I have to move out of this building. I have to break up with you, okay? Just because I'm a professional comedian doesn't mean I should have to be funny all the time, all right? Patrick, you're a florist. where are all your flowers? Where are all your flowers? Are your pockets full of flowers? Are you wearing a big flower hat? Like we're at the
Would you like a rose? No. I have a rose for you. Here's a rose. Would you like a daisy? Here's a daisy.
Stop. This feels like we're on The Bachelor. Stop.
I couldn't help it over here, but you, I heard you goofing around about wanting to move out. It's a 36-month lease, and you know that, so you can't actually do that.
Okay. Okay.
So no goofings.
Okay. All of you sit down and I'll just play an improv podcast I was on recently.
Can you say your lines along with your recording?
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I know you guys love when I do TikToks, I'll do a lip sync of the improv podcast I did recently.
Oh my God. This is the best birthday of my life.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast. This is the part where a guest shares a story from their lives. So, Jordan, you are up first.
Great.
So, take it away.
Fantastic. I had a really bad end to the end of 2018. And I went on a 2-week trip to Europe with the person I was dating at the time. And it was really nice and incredible. And then the day that we got back, they were like, hey, you should order us $30 worth of Mexican food and I'll come over and we'll eat it. And I was like, okay, perfect. And so I did that. And then they showed up at my house with $30 worth of Mexican food, sat down and immediately broke up with me. And were like, I have hated you for months, basically. And I was like, okay, this is truly tragic. I thought we were about to move in together, all these things. It was so bad. And then 2 days later, I went to see the SpongeBob SquarePants musical. I was living in New York and my roommate and I had already had tickets from months before. So we went and saw the SpongeBob SquarePants musical. And during intermission, my doctor, who I truly had not spoken to in maybe 6 months, called me and was like, you need to go see a specialist because I think you have lupus. And I was like, okay. So I go to all these specialists for 2 weeks. I'm seeing all these people. I spend approximately $100 million. And I finally end up at a doctor who takes one look at me and says, you absolutely do not have lupus. You just have weird knees. You have weird knees. So in about 15 minutes,
idea what lupus is.
Absolutely not. And that was kind of the most interesting thing about my 2-week-long lupus journey is that no one could explain it to me or what it was or how it would affect me. So it felt even more ominous and mysterious. But many specialists were convinced I had it. And this specific doctor, within 15 minutes, told me I did not have lupus, showed me how I needed to be standing to not have my knees hurt all the time. He said it was from being tall for so long, because for people who have never seen me, which is probably anyone listening to this podcast, I'm 5'8", and I hit 5'7" when I was in about the second grade. So I was a human monster for many years, bigger than my teachers, absolutely giant. And apparently that made my knees weird. So then about a week after, I'm still kind of riding this high of both being broken up with and finding out that I don't have lupus, full of emotions. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I was like, wow, I feel so bad and I can't stop throwing up. So I go to CityMD, which I don't know if anyone's ever been in a CityMD. I can't tell you not to go there enough. Don't go there. It's a bad place. I went to CityMD and I was like, I'm extremely sick. And they were like, no, you're not. Go home. So I said, thank you. And I paid them $60 and I went home and I laid down and proceeded to throw up, I don't know, every 15 minutes for the next 7 hours until it got to the point where I was like, I think I have to go to the hospital. My roommate takes me to the hospital. I'm in the ER for like 4 hours doing all this stuff. I have to drink like a liter of contrast so they can do a CAT scan, which if you've never drank Contrast before. It tastes like thick water mixed with contact solution, mixed with the cotton candy toothpaste your dentist gave you as a child. If anyone ever opted for
cotton candy flavor,
that is what it tastes like. And it's bizarrely viscous. And I had to drink a bunch of that. Finally, it turns out that my appendix has ruptured so badly that it is in two separate pieces. And the doctor is like, it is ultimately shooting pus all over the inside of your body, which can kill you and make you go septic. So you have to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
So they took me in an ambulance, which actually did feel very cool, to a bigger hospital where I had my procedure done. And this is TMI. I guess this is the meaty part. I woke up from my procedure and truly thought that I was having some kind of my brain was in the wrong body experience, because the first thing I noticed the moment I even came to a little bit was that they had shaved my pubes off in the most bizarre way possible. They do your surgery. Oh, yes, I'll explain. They do your surgery nowadays laparoscopically. So I have one incision in my belly button and then one like on my pelvis and then one like on my hip. So they have to shave you some. And they did basically a reverse of what any human person would ever do, is that they left all the hair around the meat and then just took off like the top of it, if that's making sense. Yeah. So kind of like a reverse bikini or Brazilian wax, in a way that felt absolutely insane. And I guess that makes sense that they had to do that, but just no one told me that I would be waking up with less pubes than what I started with. So it was extremely alarming. At this point, I had been up for over 24 hours, and that was very confusing. So that was very bizarre. I realized I was in the right body. I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel better. They took me to my room, and I was in my room. People came and visited me. It was so sweet. And I was in the hospital for multiple days. And the last day that I was in the hospital, a nurse came in. If you've never been in the hospital for a surgery or like something that you're worried about, I guess they were worried about me going septic, which I didn't realize can kill you. Most of the time, apparently your appendix does not rupture. It just gets inflamed. And then the pain from that is enough to like send you to the hospital and you get it removed. So having it ruptured, I guess, is like decently rare. So they check on you like every 30 minutes. They take your temperature. They make sure you're okay. So this woman came in my room at 5 a.m. She looks at my chart. She's like, okay, I'm going to take some of your blood. And I'm also noticing that you're an Aries. And I was like, this is my worst nightmare. I hate astrology. I don't believe it. I think it's stupid. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate from the other queer women in the community for this. But I don't believe astrology. I think it's bad. And she was like, okay, I'm noticing that you're an Aries. And I was like, please, I'm so sorry to be rude. Please don't speak to me. Just take my blood. I'm so sick. I feel so bad. I cannot talk about astrology. And she was like, okay, well, I just wanted to point out that you're in the hospital because something inside you was evil. And I was like, okay. And she's like, you're a fire sign and you need someone with a water sign to balance you out. And I was like, okay. Truly at this point, I'm like, this is a dream. I'm on a lot of morphine. Not truly happening, because why would it ever? Yeah. And she takes four large vials of my blood the whole time, putting her hands on my body, praying the devil out of me, telling me that I have to cleanse, I have to accept what I've done to feel better. And I'm like, okay. She leaves with four vials of my blood. I immediately fall back asleep. I wake up a couple hours later, my normal nurse comes in. I'm like, oh my God, nurse Stacy, that nurse that came in here a few hours ago was terrible. Please don't ever let her come in again. She took so much blood and she was so weird. And my nurse goes, no one was supposed to come in here and take blood from you earlier. And I was like, okay, well, Nurse Stacy, a woman came in here at about 5 a.m., took four large vials of my blood and put her hands on me and prayed the devil out of me.
Oh.
And Nurse Stacy said, okay, that's weird. I will look into that. Nurse Stacy leaves. She comes back a couple hours later. She's like, can you describe what the woman looked like? So I describe what the woman looks like. She's like, was the woman wearing scrubs? I was like, yes, to my recollection, she was wearing scrubs. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, my mom's a nurse and my mom just buys scrubs at a store in the mall, you know, like anyone could.
Jesus.
And I was in a very large Brooklyn hospital that had a lot going on. And kind of the conclusion that we came to, and now, you know, a year and a half later, I look back saying, probably should have investigated more, but it was a hard time in my life, so I let it go. No one knew who that woman was or where my blood went.
Huh.
Still to this day, no one's sure who that woman was.
Nurse was like,
probably a lab technician. She kept saying that. She's like, it was probably a lab technician.
A religious lab technician.
Probably a lab technician. I was like, okay. And you know, that's what I tell myself. I'm like, this has to be someone in the hospital and not a witch who lives in Bay Ridge that now has 4 vials of my blood.
Holy shit.
But I think about it a lot. And I just wonder where that, what happened with that blood.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I bet. Did you have, like, when you were first, like, kind of telling the end of that story, I thought, like, oh, maybe it was, like, a dream or a hallucination or something. But, like, you had, like, the marks in your arm or wherever they took the blood from.
Yes, I had marks in my arm that were new. Because at that point, I'd been in the hospital for days, so I had had a couple different, you know, they have to take it from a couple different places. And, like, I'm not, like, a big dreamer. Like, yeah. I'm not someone who, like, lucid dreams or has anything like that. And I was on a painkiller, but I wasn't on anything that would have really made me, like, freak out. And, like, I mean, this woman, like, physically touched me. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
So
that's bananas.
That is fucking nuts.
That's so scary. That's so scary.
It was truly insane. And how unfazed they were by it was bizarre to me.
Yeah. Like,
this feels like a thing that happens.
She said, I noticed you're in Aries. Was there a chart in the room that she was looking at?
Yes. She was looking at a chart.
Okay.
But I can't remember who told me this, if it was my mom or someone else. My mom is a nurse. Someone was like, why would your birthday be on your chart?
Yeah.
Like in the emergency room.
And you are an Aries.
And I am, in fact, an Aries.
So, so she knew something about you and she knew information, but it could have been in the room. I don't know. Wow.
That's like just like way to blow your own cover, sort of.
But I guess the alternative to it being in my file is even crazier, that this like woman found me, the world's least famous person online, and like saw in my story that I was in the emergency room. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that would be so, that's, I guess, not scary anymore because now I live in LA and I don't live in Brooklyn anymore. I'm like, what the fuck is she going to do? But when I still lived in Brooklyn, that felt scary.
Yeah.
Do you have like rare blood or anything like that? I know it's a weird question, but I'm O negative.
No. People are after me. I don't know. I honestly don't know what blood type I have, but I feel like I would know if it was like special. And I'm like, I'm not in particularly good shape or health or any, you know what I mean? Like nothing that would, I'm not like an Olympic runner or something where people are like, we need her blood to make us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like what reasons people would take blood. Just like a very average woman.
And she like knew how to take blood. She didn't just cut you open. Thank God.
She didn't cut me open. Thank God. She did know how to take, this woman clearly had some medical, I'm wondering if it's like a Nurse Jackie situation, but like with blood. Like, is she someone that works in the hospital?
She drinks it in the back.
Yeah. I'm like, this woman's addicted to blood. She's a vampire. But she does work in the hospital.
Tough, no nonsense, addicted to blood nurse.
Yeah, she's got a family.
Yeah, yeah. and a mister.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Oh my god.
Jake, do you have a question about
no,
that?
No, I'm
okay. Just digesting.
Jordan, you presented a thing that I never thought about as a way to sort of like, I never ever thought about someone stealing my blood. That's fucking crazy.
Sure, I hadn't either. Even when it was happening, it didn't occur to me.
So the lupus thing was not connected to the appendix thing. It was just a part of this.
It was a lot of unrelated things. They were totally unconnected. And also a big question I get is a lot of people were like, oh, because of your breakup. And I'm like, excuse me? And they're like, oh, your breakup, you got so sad.
You fucked up your own appendix.
Your appendix exploded. You were so filled with sadness, it inflamed your own appendix and it exploded. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. That's the most dramatic thing I've ever heard.
We cut to like a frat house. There's a bunch of people just kind of hanging about partying. One guy busts through the door. You guys, I got it. Oh, you're not going to believe it. I got it.
What'd you get?
Check it out. 4 vials of blood.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Jeremy, we sent you out to get Molly 5 days ago.
Yeah. I did. I got even better than that. I got 4 vials of blood.
What?
Come on, let's party.
Where'd you get this blood?
That's a long story. I had to
go buy scrubs. This is Steve Richards on it. What?
Yeah. I got Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. I got his blood.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What? Why?
You asked for Molly. I got the next best thing. Can you imagine how fucked up we're going to get if we have some of Keith Richards' blood?
Bro, I'm not drinking blood.
Jeremy, you're covered in blood. Did you kill Keith Richards?
Not instantly, but maybe. We're going to get fucked up. We got Keith Richards' blood.
Was there more blood? Did you do a lot of work to get a lot of... How much
blood? I stabbed Keith Richards and I pulled the blood.
Jeremy... You're the,
what? You guys were at a party. You said get some Molly. I'll do one better. I'll get Keith Richards.
Jimmy, you were already on probation.
Yeah.
You needed to complete one task and we were going to let you in.
Well, I went even above and beyond. Let me in. Come on. Deke for life. I got, what other pledge got rock and roll legends? Blood and come on, take a little in your mouth. I know. Come on, Charlie. Come on, just
get away from my mouth. Get away from my mouth.
Come on, taste a little bit of his blood. You guys are going to make me feel weird now. If I brought this to Tri-Delt, which I think is a sorority, they would all be like lapping it up.
Then go try.
Yeah, that's because the girls at Tri-Delt are fucked up. Okay.
Yeah, they are really weird.
Tri-Delt are fucking psycho.
Yeah. Well, all their invitations are just like they're written in Aramaic or something. They're fucking scary.
I've had some great times at Tri-Delt, and I think you're judging them too much. Come on.
What? Did you go to that one party that they had? It was cave creatures.
To everyone.
Cave creatures and hoes.
It was insane. Me and a girl from Tri-Delt were mutually masturbating each other, and she set the tip of my dick on fire.
That's a cave creature for you.
I think one of them drinks from my knee every night.
My man, you're getting laid every night?
No, she drinks from my knee. And you think it was blood, but something else comes out.
Cut to the tri-belt girls.
Ladies, how are we doing?
Oh, we are good, girl. How are you?
Good, good.
So good, so good. All right, so I sent Tiffany out to get 4 vials of Keith Richards' blood, and she should be back any moment now.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Hey.
Hey.
What up, sisters?
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Stop. Not yet.
You are a pledge.
Bitch, not yet.
Bitch, not yet. Did you get it what we needed?
Even better, I got Molly.
What?
That I got better. Molly. We can dance and touch each other's hair and bond.
You better Molly. Molly, that better be Molly's blood in 4 vials is what that what? Better be.
Yeah, Molly fucking Ringwald.
We sent you out to get Keith Richards' blood.
Yes. Yes, you did. And I deciphered the code and I realized Rolling Stone, what comes in stone form? A pill. What kind of pill is fun for a party? Ecstasy. But then I went one step above that, got rid of the rough stuff and just got the pure MDMA Molly. Come on.
And look at you. You're covered in Molly.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Yeah. How'd you get this Molly?
How did I get the Molly?
Yeah.
How do we get anything? I blew a cave creature.
You blew a cave creature?
Yeah.
You're a pledge.
What? I can't blow it. Oh, no. Come on.
No, not yet, bitch.
Because you don't fucking know. Yeah.
Bitch.
Bitch.
Hey.
If you blow a cave creature, they're going to expect you to be their partner.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
I don't think that's true. This cave creature was pretty cool about it.
Oh, really?
You promised no strings attached. You're saying I'm going to be bothered by a cave creature? I'm going to be sucked into a lifelong partnership with a cave creature?
Watch your knees. If you blew a cave creature, you likely imprinted on him. Okay? And he imprinted on you.
I don't get it.
Okay, and you don't get it, and that's why you're a fucking pledge.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Take that shit over to Deke. They'd love that fucking shit over at Deke.
Oh, they're so sick over there. They're always doing Molly like it's fucking... Ugh.
Watching sports like fucking perverts?
Yeah.
I had some good times at Deke.
Okay, I haven't.
Yeah.
I was just saying, one time they had a Pirates and Wenches party, and I found it pretty fun.
Oh, well, one time I was over there and I was mutually masturbating with some guy and he didn't even set my clit on fire.
That's disgusting.
What a prude.
That's so fucked up.
His was a blaze and mine, nothing.
You shouldn't even have to do that.
Cold to the touch.
Okay, well, what are we going to do tonight for our Keith Richards blood party?
Does anybody know anybody who has some of Keith Richards' blood?
Keith Richards.
You know Keith Richards?
Yeah, he's my godfather.
What?
What?
Go to him. Bitch, go to him.
Come on. You got to be selective with what you ask Keith for.
What's the last thing you asked him for?
Molly.
Come on.
Wait. You went to Keith Richards and we specifically told you to get 4 vials of his blood, but instead you still went to him and asked him for Molly?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I blew a cave creature, got it anyway.
So you just blew a cave creature. Wait, where did the Molly come from?
I got the Molly from Keith Richards and I blew a cave creature on the way home.
I am, I'm here to take your blood.
Okay, great.
Great. Just lie back.
Okay.
And, wow. I'm noticing here you are a Rachel. from the TV show Friends, you'd be Rachel. I'm just noticing. I can tell.
Sorry, that's in my, you're pointing at my medical chart like that's in my medical chart, but there's absolutely no way it is.
No, I can see right here. They do. They search internet history of all the new patients. It's a new thing we're doing here at the hospital. We're putting everyone's internet history on their charts so that if there was something correlating to something you did, AKA where you were on Google Maps or a recipe you looked up that might have something you're allergic to, that's going to be on your charts. And it's also your BuzzFeed quizzes. And it says that you said you were a Rachel.
Okay. That's horrifying. Yeah, I guess I would identify most closely as a Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's happening to you is you are scared of getting married and you're actually not sick. So you can get up.
No, I can't. No. No, I can't get up. I have no feeling in either one of my legs.
Well,
I have no feeling in either one of my legs. I gave birth about a month ago and I haven't had feeling in either one of my legs since then. You can see I'm trying to, you see how I'm moving and the top of me is moving and the bottom of me is not. I think maybe something with my epidural made it where I can't, maybe I've lost feeling in my legs.
You're right. Let me go back. You're right about this. I'm sick.
Okay.
That was a wrong diagnosis. It sounds like you are you're a later season Rachel, where you had the kids, which means that you are getting cold feet from committing to Ross.
I'm not doing anything. I am a single woman. I have no partner. I got artificially inseminated to intentionally have children because I wanted a child.
Okay.
I have no partner, so there's no one I could possibly be scared of other than you in this moment. So male doctors don't take women very seriously to begin with. So if you could just listen to what's going on with me and kind of diagnose me based on that, that would feel really good to me.
Interesting. That's okay. Great. Well, so I'll throw this chart out. So it sounds like this is irrelevant.
I can't see it, so I don't know what's on it. But if it is my BuzzFeed quizzes, then yes, it, you know, yes, I'd like to go on vacation in Hawaii. And for brunch, I'm a Benedict.
Well, okay, let me just, so for brunch, you're Benedict. Yeah, if you were on the Mindy Project, you'd be Adam Pally's character.
Correct? Yeah, I know, which was upsetting to get.
Yeah, it was upsetting. I know, I can tell. And then Orange is the New Black, you would have been, I can't read this one. This is Doctor's Handwriting.
Doctor's Handwriting?
Yeah, this is Pousset. It's Pousset. I thought it said Pousset.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So this is all good. And so you're saying you have no feeling in your legs?
I have no feeling in either one of my legs and have it for about a month.
Great. Great. So I'm going to go ahead and take one of your legs. and let me just hold on a second. Can you let me take your leg?
Okay.
Thanks. All right.
I'm trying to. I don't have feeling. I feel like you're not understanding me. I don't have feeling in either one of my legs.
Okay. Interesting.
Look, this is me trying to kick.
Okay.
Nothing's happening.
You're not doing anything.
Nothing's happening. This is me actively trying to kick as hard as possible. Nothing's happening.
Okay. We cut to a week later. This same doctor comes in with a big wig doctor from the city.
And this is the patient I was telling you about.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. How are you, by the way? Hello, Dr.
I'm fine. Dr. Feinstein. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah. So it says you're Rachel Pousset. I didn't watch. I'm not familiar really with either of those. It looks like you may actually be a special case. In this case, a very special episode.
This is big. Not everyone gets
one. We don't really get very special episodes or the equivalent very often, especially not these days. Back in the 90s, early aughts, very special episodes were more common because of Sweeps Week. But now that everything is streaming, well, you know the story. But you are a rare case, a very special episode, you know, like the episode where Jesse and Saved by the Bell got addicted to, what was it, sleeping pills or whatever?
Caffeine pills, yeah.
Caffeine pills, yeah.
It feels like I'm in the hospital from Scrubs. It feels like this is, I don't understand what's happening. I have no feeling in either one of my legs. And now we're talking about, you know, the Saved by the Bell episode where she's like, I'm so I'm so scared. And then she breaks down and she cries. Okay. And yes, we've all seen that episode.
We see that Jordan is having this conversation. It's a voiceover she's having to herself.
So do you have any opinion on that? You haven't said anything to us.
Can they not hear me? Can they? And in that moment, I realized that maybe I wasn't listening to myself.
Well, we're going to have to amputate the legs. We're going to start at the knees and then see if we need to go higher from there.
Okay, wait. I just need, okay. I feel crazy. Can you guys hear me?
She's blinking pretty hard.
Those eyes are going to fall out.
This is like that Jessica Alba movie where she is in the hospital and, oh my God, this is my worst nightmare. Oh, okay. What do I do? Okay, maybe if I breathe.
I'll just mark off above the knees with a red Sharpie where we're going to cut.
Okay, nope. Okay, I have to get their attention. Maybe if I try breathing really hard. Do you think, can they see that?
Ma'am, wake up. You've been in a coma in this hospital for over 8 hours. Are you doing okay?
Oh my God, thank you for waking me up from my coma.
I thought I'd try this out, but I guess it worked.
You said I've been in a coma for 8 hours?
They always tell me, don't just try to wake them up. It's never going to work.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to check. How do you know that if I was in a coma for 8 hours, I wasn't just asleep? That's about, I don't want to trust you. I don't want to, you know, don't backseat doctor you, but 8 hours is about what I sleep each night.
Wow. And I wake you up from a coma and you criticize my methods.
We cut to Jordan now for some reason on a talk show. So today we're talking to people who've been in a coma to see what their experiences were like. Jordan, tell us about heaven.
Sure. I feel very guilty going on this book tour circuit. I was not in a coma. I want to be really clear about that. I feel very guilty taking people's money.
It says you were in a coma for 8 hours.
I went to the hospital. I had a pretty standard colonoscopy. Fell asleep. They let me spend the night there. 8 hours later, I was awoken by a doctor. Said I was in a coma. I did not see heaven. I had a pretty standard reoccurring dream that I have where one of my toes looks like the Hamburglar. And that was
it. So you're saying there's no heaven?
That's absolutely not what I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Fire! Give me the microphone.
I feel like nobody can hear
give
what I'm saying.
Give that audience member a microphone. No heaven. That's a pretty dramatic thing to say for certain.
I call BS. I was in a coma for 20 minutes on the bus ride down here, and I definitely went to heaven.
What did you see?
I saw, she's right about your toe looking like the Hamburglar. That's definitely a part of heaven. And then I saw what appeared to be like a billboard. And then on the billboard, it said, he's back. And it was Hugh Laurie as a doctor. And it said, House MD. And that's what heaven was like. And then I woke up from my coma.
That's a billboard on La Cienega Boulevard. I also saw that billboard on the way here.
So you were also in a coma on the way here?
I don't know. Maybe I'm in a coma now. This feels so crazy to me. I feel like no one can hear me. At one point, I thought I had a baby, but now I'm like, did that even happen? And if it did, who was with my baby?
I'm your baby.
What? Boop, boop.
I was your baby.
Oh my God.
Now I'm your adult son. It's me, your adult son.
Oh my God, you look just like the Hamburglar.
That's right. And as you've been running around lying about your 8-hour coma, signing books and going on talk shows, I've had to raise myself.
Oh my God.
How did I raise myself? By sneaking into McDonald's and stealing cheeseburgers.
How old are you? How many years have passed since I was in the hospital?
We got to a McDonald's. A guy is sitting at a table by himself. Excuse me, manager?
Yes. Manager?
Who is that attendant who came and took my hamburgers?
What are you talking about? We don't have attendants.
Yes, an attendant came in and took my hamburgers, read my little receipt, said that I was a Virgo, dressed in a black and white striped jumpsuit. I can only describe him as like bandit glasses.
We cut to the outside of the McDonald's by the dumpster where the little hamburger boy is eating his burgers.
Where's my mommy?
We cut back inside. What, a burger technician? That doesn't sound like a thing.
It's probably a burger tech.
A burger tech? What is a burger tech doing?
It, you know, sometimes they come in, take the burgers, do tech stuff on them. It's probably just a burger tech. No reason to sue the McDonald's or...
Stay
up at night worrying. No one said to sue the McDonald's. It's probably just a burger tech.
Well,
anyways.
Am I, can I leave now?
Please. Let's get back into the meat part of the podcast. Patrick, you're up. What would you like to talk about?
All right. So I would like to talk about a kind of funeral I went to and the leading up to it and what happened and all that. We're going to get some real serious business here. So I had a buddy in college that unfortunately passed away when I was in college. He fell down a flight of stairs at our favorite bar, which was like so sad. It was terrible, which is also a personal thing where it's like when you hear a death like that, you can't get upset about like I'm like when I can't be like against stairs. Like I can't like in a very dark, sad way. It's like I'm not gonna do some rally of like mothers against stairs. Like it's very upsetting, but I can't fight that in any way. It's just like a really sad freak accident.
Did you post about this guy?
His name is Griff. He passed away in 2012. So I was a senior in college. I was about to be a senior and we were gonna move out to LA together. And then we were going to like do the LA program. And then, so I ended up having to kind of do it alone, which led to a lot of like, at my internship, I interned at like, at a talk show and I would have to like find little rooms to cry. Like I would like, uh-huh. I gotta go. Like there'd be like a memorial service for him happening while I was like at my internship. And like, as I was getting coffee, I'd like find a corner in the farmer's market.
Oh man.
I know this is sad, but, what was wild about everything is, so when he passed away, we that whole night was crazy. And I had this whole thing where like we always would just like joke. We were very much like he was a comedy kid. I was a comedy kid. So we were like kind of joke about how much everyone was an asshole. But a big thing I look back on is like I was obsessed with continuing to call him an asshole, even though he was dead. Like that was like a thing that I felt like was important for me. And I remember like I would like always post like, he's such an asshole. My dad, like, this is the craziest coping mechanism that anyone has ever dealt with. I was like, I don't know why I continue to say that. But I met his parents that weekend as well. And then the following week we had a memorial and he's from Chicago. His parents were super nice, super wonderful, very welcoming for us, but also very quiet kind of people. And we, about 12 of us went out to this memorial service that was going to be in Chicago for him. And we got there and the dad had arranged for something like a transportation to take us around so that we didn't have to worry about, any sort of problems with that. And the only transportation that would fit 13 people was a party bus. So he had rented us for like my friend's memorial the whole weekend. We were traveling around Chicago in a party bus with lights and music. It was the most upsetting, crazy experience of my life where we would all just be like laughing at how silly it was. And then we'd all be just like quietly crying on a party bus while like lights were flashing and like we'd go to a lake and then we'd like hang out at this lake and play volleyball. And then we'd get back in our party bus and we like, I remember just like this feeling of the slow motion style of like putting sunglasses on and like walking out of a party bus to go straight into a funeral. Like it was like the weirdest. It was just like the most strange feeling. And I feel like there was all this little stuff here and there, but that's the big thing that I I remember I had a speech that I had prepared that went fine, but overall, like, that party bus moment was the big thing for me, where I was like, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me in my life, where I'm like crying about my friend and someone's playing R. Kelly or something. It was nuts. We like really committed to the idea of it being a party bus too. And then we would just go through these like grief spells. Yeah, it was wild. That's pretty much my story though. It's no one pulled my blood. But,
was there like a I've been on a party bus once.
Okay.
Twice.
Fancy.
Was there, did the driver know? Was there a way to like communicate to
him? The driver was being very enthusiastic with us, and I don't think we told them because I don't think anyone figured out a way to. I don't think anyone was like, they were like, how are you doing? I think it was a woman. She was like, how's everyone doing? Good to see you guys. Come on in. We can do whatever you want. But it was like, let's go to breakfast. Like, let's go to a thrift store. Like it was like, because we had this party bus for the whole day and we were in the suburbs of Chicago. She did not know what was going on. But it was a really weird, really weird time. Because it's just such a crazy thing to happen. It's so random and weird. And like, what do you do with this kind of really, really scary, dark thing? That's like mortality. You're dealing with mortality at a very real rate. And it's funny to look back on all those friendships too, because I feel like they all like, it was a lot to handle for those friendships. But yeah.
Did you, and at what point did everybody talk about it, or
the party bus?
Yeah, like, was it talked about in the moment, or did somebody break the ice with it, or has it not, or like, how long did it go before you were all like?
It was pretty instant. It was pretty much like, no, like, because it was like, I think we went and picked somebody up in the airport with it, and everyone was like, what are we doing? it's so nice. Obviously I wouldn't say anything to the person who rented the party bus for us, but it was because it would help us out, obviously, but it was so strange. What do you do? I mean, is anybody renting? Somebody needs to be renting larger capacity vehicles for sad events. there's just the only time large groups of people are together in the transportation business's eyes are for happy events.
Yeah.
So I guess like a prison bus could have been more appropriate. I don't know. That's like the only other type of large transportation that isn't a happy occasion for me. And I also remember vividly. Oh, sorry. What?
No, you finish. My question can wait.
Oh, I was going to say when I was driving away, I remember I became obsessed with the for some reason I only started listening to it the day after the memorial service, and then like for the next 3 months, the only song I would listen to was Jesse J's Domino.
Oh.
And that was like my grieving song in a weird way. Oh. Do you guys know that song?
No.
Yeah, I danced to it this morning.
Really?
In my cardio class, God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, make this dream the best I'll ever know. It's like a very vapid pop song, but it's a song. And that was my song.
Is there any particular reason you tied it to this?
I think it was the peakingness. I think it was like the emotional release of like her high notes felt cathartic. But that was like, that's probably where for me it felt like a break. Like, yeah. But I think that would be, that was it.
This was between your junior and senior year, you said?
Of college, yeah. So I was 21. Yeah.
That's like right before like what's supposed to be your like how
the best time.
How did it impact your year? But did you like lit? I don't. If you could just stop me if you're like, I don't want
to
talk.
No, about I'm this. No. I would love to talk about it. I'm like it's. I'm so removed. I hope this isn't too sad.
No. Not at all. I just want to make sure that I'm not like
never stepping on stuff. No. I'm down for it.
But yeah, no, I so my senior year, I graduated early that semester. So I graduated in December because I was already planning to graduate early. But it was really strange. Like, I had just moved out here. He was supposed to kind of come out here and we were going to do it together. He actually
knew. Your senior year? Is that what you're saying?
My senior year, yeah. He actually knew his, because he's from Chicago, his, I think his aunt was really good friends with like Jimmy Jatha, like the guy at, the tech guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jatha. So he like knew him and he was going to maybe, I remember him saying his name before I came out here and was like, maybe going to do something at the theater or whatever. But it was really interesting. It just changed. It was so just surreal almost that I just kind of swung back and forth between like figuring out what I wanted to do and not really having people that were close to me in LA. So I like made some UCB friends pretty fast. But other than that, it was like very bizarre. And then I went back and I actually gave the grad speech at my graduation. And I talked about him a little bit, sort of like crying in the speech. And then I was like, hashtag Patrick cried. I like made a joke. And everybody used it as a hashtag at my at my graduation. if you go to Twitter and do hashtag Patrick cried, you'll see actual tweets about me at graduation.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that affected it.
how do you think like the timing of that, like I've been, I guess, lucky enough to like no one I've ever been very close to has ever passed besides like grandparents or whatever, but like my age, I've definitely known people, you know, that I've been friendly with people that have passed early, but like do you think it affected your approach to like moving out to LA or to like did it make I'm just curious at that stage in your life, what maybe.
It definitely was like, it was really, it was a lot to ration with. Like I have weird things like spiritually with him because it feels like they come back in and out. I've had moments that are very funny where I'm like, maybe this is a sign. Like he loved like trashy pop. So I heard like the Pitbull song, Everything, once as I was getting on a roller coaster. And I was like, maybe this is Griff saying he's here with me. And then the roller coaster took off and it was the worst roller coaster I've ever been on. It was like, like it was like a really awful roller coaster. And I'm like, oh, that was him. He was just fucking with me. But it was like, it definitely like, there's two modes of it of like, well, look, like no one knows when the or your last moment's going to be. So let's just go for it. But then also like, well, there's all these people. That's a huge part of it. There was like a thing I had to get over was seeing people like what I would consider them like wasting their time or like not taking their opportunities and being like, you have this opportunity because you're currently alive. And I have a friend that would crush it right now, but he can't have this moment because he's not alive. And it's like, you're wasting your time and he wouldn't have been wasting his time. And that was a thought that I had to get over. That was like very like whatever. But it's
like for yourself, I mean, or for other people.
Yeah, for myself. I mean, I definitely like it. Definitely spurred me to be like, I want to make stuff happen. I want to do this. I want to like live my life and like really knock stuff out of the park. But for other people, I had to get over that. For other people, I was like, well, they can live their life. I need to stop being such judgmental. Like they have nothing to do with what I'm going through, and we're but ships in the night, so they can do whatever. I'm not going
to get that's a huge perspective to have, though. I think I think that's a very difficult one to sort of like. Yeah, I think just being that aware of that is like pretty incredible thing and hard to do. To not have those immediate feelings of like, oh, somebody who has an opportunity isn't utilizing it the way and somebody who doesn't have it.
Right. And it's easy to get caught up too. And it's like, it's also the thing of like, well, just by like being around, I like get to do more and I'm much more grateful for the even time I'm given. And it's also, there's also like people that, cause he was like a very funny guy and a very goofy guy, but he had like a very kind of
a little bitchy, a bit of a bitchy side. And so there's like, I was left with a lot of gossip that only him and I have.
What do you mean?
There's like people that maybe posted really nice things about him. And I'm like, he hated your guts. And that's a really, really hard thing to look at. Because I'm like, well, that wouldn't be helpful if I brought that up in any way. Even if that person, I know there's somebody that might find this podcast and, find out, and I'll talk to you about it if you want. Or you can leave it at this. This is you. But if that's a really crazy thing where you're like, oh, man, this is so interesting. You talk about how much you love this person because I can't. I have texts. I have texts. And it's
wow.
Really, yeah, it's really, really, really weird.
All right. It's Josh's bachelor party. We're headed to Vegas. Unfortunately, it was a popular weekend, so I wasn't able to get a party bus, but I did.
You didn't get a stripper bus, did you?
Oh, come on,
also,
dog.
Did you?
No. Also, they were booked. They were all booked. I found great occupancy. We got the guy for as long as we want.
A Humvee limmer with a whirlpool in the back.
Oh my God! Dog. The guy's talking about probably a butler. Yes, dog. A butler for our car.
Oh, dog!
It's a bummer van. It's a bummer van. It's a guy has cornered the market on large vehicles for sad events. And there were no, he luckily had one for this weekend. It's called a bummer van.
What the fuck's in a bummer van?
Yeah, can we smoke weed in it?
Oh, yeah, they're like a blunter van.
Blunter van.
You can, that the windows don't go down, so you can't. I guess we could hotbox inside of it, but all the windows are sealed shut and painted black. And there is like a urn in there, like an urn to carry like ashes. So you could probably get high and ash in the urn.
Whose ashes are in the urn?
They're like, there, if you don't have ashes, like if like the sad event, maybe somebody was like missing in action or didn't come home or whatever, you know how like,
all right, dude, blah, blah, blah. Let's get in the van.
We can do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Who cares? It's got to have a radio at least.
Okay.
Cut to inside the van.
Oh,
okay. There's no radio. I can clearly see the front of the car is just smooth. There's no radio.
My name's
Are you Douglas. The driver? Oh, Douglas.
Hi.
Douglas, I'm getting married, so whatever you see in the van, don't speaky outside of the van.
My man.
Oh, I wish I could tell you the things I've seen in this van.
Okay, tell us one.
One time.
Did anyone get a blowjob in here?
Come on, please. My buddy loves blowjob stories, and he's getting married this weekend.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to hear many later.
Oh. Come on. Oh, Ross.
Yeah, his wife doesn't suck dick.
I'll tell you about a blowjob. There was a woman in here with her husband. She just lost her sister. She was crying. Her husband said, what can I do to make it better? She said, let me. He said, no, there's someone driving, he said. She said, let me, please. He was crying. Tears. His pants were covered in tears.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think
the bereaved was blowing the in-law.
I don't go on.
No, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think leave that one to the old imagination, there, Josh. I don't think you need to get to the specifics of that.
All right.
All right, well, you guys can have fun in here. You'll be the first people. As you notice, there is no stereo, but I can sing any song you like. Let me know. Have fun.
I like that Domino song.
You guys like Domino by Jesse J?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
The saddest song of all time. Okay.
Not really. We just want something to drink. Hey, is it okay that I have Coronas in here?
Yes, you can have Corona in here.
Oh.
All right. Yes. Where are we going, by the way? Vegas? Is that where we're going?
You didn't tell him where we were going?
We're going to Vegas. Yeah. Okay. We're going to Vegas.
It's like an eighth of a tank of gas. How are we going to...
Rented this sad-ass car. You didn't tell him where we were going.
We're going to Vegas, okay? It's all a right, bachelor. It's gonna be
about, okay, 5-hour drive?
Yeah, it's let's a 5-hour drive. Yeah.
I'm feeling sexy and free. My glitter's raining on me. Can taste the glitter like it's not as
much. I get why he thinks it's a sad song. It's a sad song when he sings it.
Yeah, it's a sad song when he sings it. No. Here, let's see. What do we got in here? Here's some books, Josh. Here's Year of Magical Thinking, Joan Didion writing about her husband.
I know what
dying.
It's about. And her daughter.
And her daughter on grief. C.S. Lewis lost his wife. You want to read that one?
Come on.
Here's just like a, I guess like an guest book. If you want me to read some of the passage.
Yeah, please. Okay.
We had a lovely time. Burying our son.
Okay, bad idea. Here, how about this? I brought a bunch of pussy stuff, pussy hats, pussy straws, pussy necklaces. So I'm gonna hand them out. Everybody take one. You take one too. Everybody put them on. Women should be allowed to do this at bachelorette parties with dicks. Men should be allowed to do it with pussies at bachelor parties.
Agreed. Hell yeah.
Amen.
Finally.
On a pussy hat.
Great. The hair on mine is turning gray and falling out.
Yeah, mine has HPV.
Okay, the car is haunted. The car is haunted. I did not buy them like that. I would never buy a hat. I would never buy a hat with HPV.
Are these bummer pussy hats?
They weren't when I bought them. They were cool as fuck, and they smelled like pussy, and they were awesome.
Things don't stay happy for long in this van.
Okay, we're fine. We're okay. We're gonna be fine. Well, we got four hours and 45 minutes to go. We'll be in Vegas. We're gonna be fine.
We're going to Santa Clarita.
What?
Wait a second. I'm looking at my phone. It says it's May 18th, 2035.
Oh my god, I'm old.
I can't even see my phone.
Oh my god.
My wife probably remarried. My fiance.
Oh. Dude, how old are you?
Me?
Yes.
I started driving this when I was 5 years old. And now I'm 90.
Oh, look at the guest book. Kevin Spacey was in this van once.
Damn, this van is a bummer. Hi. Sorry to interrupt you. I can see clearly that your family's having dinner right now. I live in the neighborhood over, and I'm just handing out some pamphlets for Moms Against Stairs. Mm-hmm. Moms looking to get rid of all stairs because bad stuff happens on stairs. Maybe you've seen the Netflix original docuseries, The Staircase. Mm-hmm. Stairs bring nothing but horror, negativity, fear, pain to a household. So I, at Mothers Against Stairs, I'm trying to eradicate stairs from our neighborhood, our neighboring neighborhoods, our county, our city, our state, our country, our nation, our world.
Okay, it's complicated. I live in a two-story home.
Yes, I am targeting all the two-story homes on the street.
I mean, I'm sorry if you had some experience that with stairs that the tragedy or something. But yeah, we like the stairs. We need to get up and down the stairs. That's where my bedroom is. And
sure. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I have two kids.
Are they the two kids sitting at the table?
Yes.
What if one or both of them wasn't at the table because of your stairs?
I don't think that's, I don't draw the connection there, one to one.
Wow, it's like looking in a mirror. You were the woman I was before my son fell down the stairs and broke both his legs.
Oh, so your son is recovering?
Yeah.
I thought it was a much worse tragedy.
No, he can't eat dinner with us anymore because he's in his bedroom.
Your son just broke his legs?
Both his legs are broken, yeah. Both his legs are broken. So he has to eat dinner in his bed.
Honey, who's at the door?
Hi, it's Deborah with Mothers Against Stairs.
Mothers Against...
Moss.
Moss? Moss?
Yes. Yes.
Look, I've been going up and downstairs my entire life. Sometimes I'll do it with a beer in my hand. I would prefer it if you just let us live our own lives. Honey, either shut the door or, you know what? I'm just going to go upstairs. I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going
to take... Well, to that, I wish you good luck, sir.
I wish you good luck. He's doing it backwards. I think I'm perfectly fine going up these fucking stairs. And you should mind your own business.
Jesus. Boom,
boom, boom, boom.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
Okay, nobody believes me. Bad stuff happens on stairs, okay? Bad stuff happens on stairs.
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Ma'am. Hey. Can I just tell you, I hear you, and I'm sorry you had a stair thing, but you've knocked on the wrong door, okay? We're a slinky household.
Excuse me, what?
My name, John Slinky. We've made our whole entire fortune selling slinkies, a.k.a. stair toys. So if you think that we're going to, just today, because one clumsy kid...
Okay, like, so we got somebody that's in the pocket of big stairs. Wow, I hate to see it in my own community. This is disgusting.
We're not in the pocket of anybody. Stairs and Slinky have a symbiotic relationship. You know,
interesting.
You can play slinkies kind with your hands, like, too. You can just watch it. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, kind of like the Koch brothers and Osama bin Laden.
I don't follow.
They were in cahoots, just like you're in cahoots with.
Listen, if there's more stairs in the universe, do I benefit from it? Sure. Yeah, I guess in theory I benefit from it. There's more places for people to play with my very popular toy. But I don't necessarily need stairs to exist. And, you know, I'm quite frankly, I'm tired of you asking so many questions about it. So if you could get off my stoop, ma'am, get off my stoop, ma'am.
Interesting. You know, now that I'm peeking inside your house, I'm noticing you got a lot of stairs. You got a stoop, you got outside stairs, you got stairs up to your stoop, you got this big grand staircase in the center of your house, and then I'm seeing little staircases all up the side. It seems like you got a lot of stairs in there.
It stairs. Looks like a M.C. Escher painting. The kids are running upstairs, but they're also going downstairs.
A ball bounces up and then down and then sideways and loops a loop.
What's going on in there? What's going on in there? Something crazy is going inside your house.
It's just a family eating dinner. It's just a family eating dinner. And yeah, we got balls and slinkies and kids going all up and down the place. And we have stairways leading to nowhere, like in the that one gun manufacturer's house.
You see Jake's character falling over and over, up and down stairs, over, drinking beer and falling up and down stairs.
I'm She's doing fine. Great.
You know, it seemed like your husband, it seemed like he wasn't hurt at all when he fell down those stairs pretty hard.
What the hell's up with that? Are you implying that the elite have iron bones so that they can't fall down the stairs won't hurt the elite people? You know what? I've heard enough, okay? Big stairs, big slinky. The elites have iron bones so they can fall down stairs without a worry. We sell slinkies to children, and that's an endangerment to everyone. You know what?
We cut to a dark parking lot where Jordan's character is walking, waiting for someone, and a shadowy figure approaches.
7 o'clock on the dot.
I see you've uncovered the big stair theory.
Yes, thank you for meeting me.
Look, open this file. Everything you need to know is in here. This goes all the way to the top. It's not just the Slinky family. Stairs have been a huge, huge problem for this country.
Wow. Every single president of the United States standing on a staircase.
November 21st, 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald shoots from the 6th floor. How do you think he got up there?
Stairs. Elevators weren't invented then.
Take this. Take this.
Okay. I've got it.
All right. Now listen. My theory is that we can change all of this if we replace every stair with a ramp.
Get rid of stairs.
Yes, stairs! You don't Stairway to Heaven? Who wrote that? Think about that.
The devil.
Yes.
Okay.
Look in the liner notes. The artist that wrote Stairway to Heaven is the
devil. Wait a second. Let me look at these lyrics for Stairway to Heaven. Okay, I'm holding them upside down.
Yes.
Satan is real. Bush did 9/11. Hail Satan. Yes. Nobody. Oh my God, this is crazy.
The stairway goes to heaven, but if it goes all the way up, where does it start? Don't go up the staircase. Go down the staircase. Go down the staircase to the basement and find the secrets.
Okay, I will. Thank you for your help. I have to know your name so I can thank you.
My name? Dan Elliptical.
Well, we're all here to remember Ryan. Personally, one of my very best friends. Ryan and I had a lot of great memories together. He would ask me about my a cappella group, and he would always be encouraging. When I told him that I was transitioning from a baritone to a second tenor, and he had nothing but kind words to say to me.
We see Patrick stewing in the back of the church.
I know it's not what it's about, but I would consider us best friends. Always a kind word to say when we passed each other in the hall. One time I needed my dollar wouldn't fit in the vending machine. I was trying to buy a diet Yoo-Hoo, because regular Yoo-Hoos make me gassy. The diet Yoo-Hoo. And my dollar was wrinkled because I had kept it in my shoe the whole day. It was sweaty, wrinkled, and a little bit torn. And Ryan let me exchange my dollar bill for one of his crisp dollar bills that he'd just gotten from the bank. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. Well, I guess I'll keep talking since I was the most important person in Ryan's life.
Man.
Goldfish. Goldfish is a snack I enjoy. We said, am I getting the light? Someone's waving a light at me. Luckily for me, I know what this means since I dabbled in stand-up comedy at the open mic here on campus. Does it mean, what do I have, 4 minutes left when I get the light? Are you growling?
Patrick, no. What?
Did you want to say something, Patrick? I know the three of us, me, you, and Ryan were the three musketeers, the three amigos, snap, crackle, and pop. Are you jealous?
Oh, don't forget about me. I think that I also made an impact in Ryan's life. Consider us the
Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. Thank you.
So what was it again? What did you say?
We're the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I, being Michelangelo, the party animal, of course. Leonardo, that would be Ryan. He is clearly the leader. You, Donatello, the brains. And Raphael, that's you, Patrick. You're a rude boy. I think that Ryan and I were incredibly close. I remember.
This guy doesn't get it, huh, Patrick?
To you, to him. Amigos.
Ryan and I were such good friends. I remember that there was only one regular Yoo-hoo left in the fridge, and I drank it. And I think Ryan left it for me, knowing that I needed the nourishment more than he. I also think about the time I ran over Ryan's cat, and I think that it brought us closer together, that he must have thought, this bonds us in a way that two people could not be bonded.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's my turn.
Well, I guess I give the microphone to you then.
As everybody knows, I didn't even like Ryan, but Ryan loved me. Ryan thought I was so cute and good. Sometimes Ryan would say, I think you're grand. And I would say, shut up, shut up. And I really just hated him. So it's a little awkward that I'm speaking at his funeral, but I think it's respectful because he loved me so much. I'm trying to think of something nice to say about him, and I can't think of a single thing. All I can think about is that he liked me and I hated him. I hated him. I hated his little band shirts that he would wear.
That's good. That's good, sweetheart. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
As Ryan's father, I feel like I should probably say a few words. Ryan wasn't just my son, he was my best friend. You guys are all baring your teeth at me, which I'm assuming is maybe just a Deke thing. You know, as a parent, you never want to see this day. And you make it your job to teach your children the lessons of the world and wish the best for them. But also you learn a lot from your children. For instance, I learned how to appreciate every moment of every day and not to take it for granted. Ryan would talk sometimes about his friends from school, but he was always sure to say, nothing beats coming home to you, Pop.
When's this going to get funny?
Pardon? Look, I finally like to speak. Sit down. Sit down, Mr. Williams. I'd like to speak. I have literally almost bit through my entire tongue. I have bit through my tongue and I'm ready to
speak. You've been, huh?
Excuse me? I have bit through my entire tongue and I'm ready to speak. It's time for me to speak. Listen. And then I steal the body and I run over to my fraternity.
guys, look.
Oh, darn it.
Look, what? I got it. My friend, my what? Really good friend's body. I have it. Let's get fucked up.
Okay.
Didn't you tell me to get it? You know?
We wanted acid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was probably the girls at Cheek. They're fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, let me go bring it over to them. Hey, girls. Hey, do you guys want this body?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes, King.
Okay, here you go.
Is this your friend?
Yes, this is my really good friend. I miss him so much.
And he's dead?
Yeah, he's dead. And here's his body.
Perfect.
And I'm not asking for anything.
Okay, good, because we're not going to give you anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We did need a dead body to sit on tonight at our party.
We cut back to the funeral. Well, I guess without the body, the service is over. All right, let's get on the party bus and tear some shit up. Well, thanks so much for being on the Meet Improv. That was a blast.
Yeah, thank you both. That was really fun.
That was so fun.
We're getting a little choppy, but hopefully the audio is hanging in there for just another couple minutes for you to plug your stuff. So let's go around and plug stuff. Let's start with you, Jordan. What would you like to plug?
So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at JordanMyrick. So it's like my name, Jordan Myrick, but with a one in the last name instead of an I. It's kind of cool and different.
It's like the
nice.
It's like the hacker version.
Exactly. Yeah, I was worried about getting hacked, so I changed it so people wouldn't be able to figure it out. And now it's really complicated to explain on podcasts.
Well, great. Check you out there. Patrick.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Patrick. That's four Patricks. On Twitter at Patrick McDonald with a zero instead of an O, Jordan. Look at us.
Oh, we're so connected.
We are really connected truly a million ways over. For the Karanda Chronicles, you can search that on YouTube. Go Karanda Chronicles. And it's also on my Instagram on the highlights. And then that's pretty much it. I have a podcast where I talk about Jimmy Buffett. If you're interested in that, it's called the Parrot Head Podcast. You can go to that as well. And that's it.
Well, follow me at Wake Up with Jacob or check out We Improv. .org. That'll do.
All right. I'm at Mr. Josh Simpson on Twitter, Josh Simpson on Instagram. All my videos and stuff are at joshsimpson.biz. And you can check out the Meet Improv's Patreon, patreon.com/meetimprov, for access to our Discord channel, as well as our bonus episodes where we talk improv shop. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on The Meet!
The Meet!
Improv.